Genesis chapter 22. I ain't going to tell you anything you don't know this morning. I couldn't get away from it. Just going to try to preach and mind the Lord today. Genesis chapter number 22, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I love verse number 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to get in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for the good week we've had. Thank you for every message, every song, Lord, that's been given to us this week. Lord, our hearts have been helped and encouraged. Lord, I stand in a place where no man needs to stand alone today. God, I pray, Lord, you cleanse me of sin. I pray you'd empty me of self. And Lord, I pray you fill us with thy spirit today. I pray you calm our nerves. Let us get in that preaching gear that we desire. And Father, I pray that Christ will be magnified. May Jesus be lifted up in this place. And whatever you do, we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know, when you come to Genesis chapter number 22, that is, it is indeed the mountaintop of Bible typology in the Old Testament. Preachers, we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks going through Genesis 22 at all the types and the pictures and the allegories. I do believe in preaching types. The reason I do is because the Lord Jesus preached types in the New Testament. Amen. And he put the types and the allegories in the Bible, and I'm thankful for that. When I read Genesis 22, I find there's a question that Isaac asked in verse number 7. He said, We have the fire and we have the wood. He said, But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Can I say this today? I'm glad that I know who the Lamb of God is today. Brother Smith preached yesterday morning about that lamb, how in the book of the Revelation, and we know that that lamb is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember over there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, Moses is given the instructions to the people of God about that night of all nights when the death angel will be passing through. And he said in Exodus, chapter number 12, he said, Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house, and if the household be too little for it, the lamb, let his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of his souls. But I love verse number 5. He said, Your lamb shall be without blemish and without spot. There's a lamb. That is a particular lamb. And can I say, I'm glad there's only one Jesus. There's only one Savior. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Then he said, Take the lamb. That is a prominent lamb. John stood on the banks of the Jordan River and looked coming down the road and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But I'm particularly partial to verse number 5 when Moses looked at that crowd and said, In your lamb, I'm glad he's the prominent lamb. I'm glad he's a particular lamb. But I'm glad he's a personal lamb. I'm glad he's the God of my daddy and the God of my ancestors. But it came a good day in my life when he became my God and he became my Savior and he became my personal lamb in my life. Then he was a pure lamb. He said he shall be without blemish and without spot. I'm glad Jesus fits all the categories of that. And I'm interested in this question today that Isaac asked. And I want to preach on this thought this morning for just a moment. Where would I be without the lamb? Where would I be without the Lamb? Can I tell you this morning? We are not here because of anything we've done. We're not here because of what family we was born in. We're not here because of how much money we have or do not have in our pocket. But I'm telling you, the only reason we're here this morning is because of the precious Lamb of God that crawled up Bloody Hill of Calvary, gave His life as a sacrifice, washed our sins away, put us in the family of God. I thank God for the Lamb this morning. Now you give me a minute, I'll get my feet on the ground and we'll get to going here in a second. I want to say three or four things about this Lamb. Number one, in our text in verse number 7, I find the absence of the Lamb. For Isaac asked a question. He said, we've got the wood and we've got the fire. He said, but where is the Lamb? Why was this Lamb so important to Isaac? Well, think about Isaac. I know he's a picture of Christ in the text. I understand that, but I want to see him just for a moment as the center. You see, if that Lamb did not show up on that mountain, three things would happen to Isaac. First of all, man would have to pay, for God's wrath had to be vindicated. The Bible said, for the way wages of sin is death. Sin has to be paid. I know it's Friday morning, Jubilee, but you stay when we're going somewhere. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's wrath had to be vindicated. Can you imagine having to pay for your sins in a Christless eternity in hell? But I got good news for you. You don't have to pay for your sins, for they've already been paid for. They're at the old rugged cross. You realize if sinners die and go to hell without God, they go to hell with the debt being paid, with the price being paid. They're at Calvary. Man would have to pay. Then secondly, man would be a prisoner. Think about this. Abraham, he laid that wood on Isaac and he tied him down to that altar. So I say he was a prisoner because he was burdened. In that context, that wood could be pictured as that sin load being laid upon Isaac's back. It was heavy. It was harsh. It was hard. It wasn't easy carrying up that wood up that mountain. And can I say this? The Bible said that the way of a transgressor is hard. That burden. And then he was bound. The Bible said in chapter number 22, there in verse number 9, that he laid him in order. He laid him on the altar upon the wood. He bound him to that altar. He was tied down. You know, the Old Testament said they had to bind that sacrifice to the altar. And so man that is lost without God is not only under the burden of sin, but he is bound to that place of judgment. He is bound to that place. You have the fire there. That's purification. You have the knife there. That's condemnation. And then Abraham, the father, pictures vindication. The God required a payment. God required a sacrifice. Man would have to pay. Man would be a prisoner. But then, of course, we know this. Isaac would have perished there on that mountain if the Lamb hadn't showed up. And can I say this? Without Jesus in our lives, we would have to pay. We'd be a prisoner forever, and we'd perish in a Christless eternity without God. The absence of the Lamb. But secondly, and I hasten, I want to say in verse number 7, not only do I see the absence of the Lamb, but I see the asking for the Lamb. Notice he said, where is the Lamb? Can I say this? When Isaac asked this question, I see three things about this. First of all, when he's asking this question, he is a condemned man. Because in verse number 2 of our text, God has already told Abraham, he said, you take Isaac up that mountain and you offer him for a sacrifice. He's already condemned. We're living in a day when preachers, when you preach on sin and judgment, the wrath of God, people say, well, don't condemn me. I don't want to be told that. Can I say this? I cannot condemn you, because John chapter 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. I can't condemn you. You have already been condemned. But I love this. Here's a man lost. Here's a man, picture if you would, lost. He's condemned, but he knows that a Lamb could fix his problem. He knows that a Lamb could meet his need. He knows that a Lamb, anybody listen to me, could make a difference in his life. He is a condemned man. Can I say this? He is a concerned man. If he wasn't concerned, he wouldn't be asking, where's the Lamb? It sounds like he's wanting the Lamb. It sounds like he wants the Lamb to come in and invade his world. It sounds like he wants the Lamb to make an appearance in his life. And aren't you glad for the day when the Lamb made an appearance in your life, when he showed up and made all the difference? I'm not trying to open up a can of worms, but I'm telling you, if somebody wants to be saved, that's not their flesh. And that's not the devil. That's the Holy Ghost of God drawing upon that man's heart. I don't get all these people saying they lay around in the altar praying and they say, well, God won't save me. That's not in this Bible, because that's why Jesus came. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And Paul added, of whom I am chief. I got news for you today. If you're here lost without God and there's a burning desire in your heart to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, I got good news for you. That's why he came. Luke 19:10 said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's concerned about it. He's a concerned man. He was a condemned man. Can I say this? He is a conscious man. He knew the Lamb was his only hope. Can I say in this text, he knew, and let me think like this, this ain't the message, let me just throw this out there. The Levitical law's not been given yet. Won't be given for about 400 years from what I can tell. But obviously, Isaac knew that the lamb had to be a vital part of the sacrifice and worship. Where'd he learn that? He got it from his daddy. Abraham taught him about what went involved in worship. Can I say this, moms and dad? We have a responsibility to teach our children that worship is not about fog lights and not about praise teams and anything like that, but it's all about the Lamb being lifted up. Can I say this? It's not about preachers, and it's not about singers, and it's not about buildings, and it's not about choirs, and it's not about programs, but it's all about the lovely Lamb of God. It's all about Him. Paul said in all things, He might have the preeminence, amen. He is a conscious man. He knew that the Lamb had to show up. There is the absence of the Lamb. There is the asking for the Lamb. I love this in verse number 8. Look on in our text, please. There is an announcement concerning the Lamb. I love this in verse number 8. He's a condemned man. He's a concerned man. He's a conscious man. But I'm glad when he was condemned and concerned, there was a word of confirmation that rang out on that mountaintop that day as Abraham took that telescope of faith looking down through the years of time. And he said, son, I may not understand it all, but I know this much. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Can I say this in that phrase? We see the assurance. He said, God will. Aren't you glad we serve a God that'll save anybody, anywhere, anytime that'll call out to Him? He said, God will. Acts 4:12, neither is there in salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God will. Then He said, provide Himself. That's not only the assurance, that's the ability. I hate to ruin Bill Gaither's song, but there wasn't no search made through heaven. There wasn't a competition list to see who would go to heaven and come to earth and save man. There was only one choice. There was only one man. There was only one, and it was the sinless, perfect Son of God. I love this. The Bible said, Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe in that whosoever, amen. Somebody say, you a Calvinist? No, I like Billy Mitchell said, I'm a Christian. There's the announcement concerning the Lamb. Y'all all right? The assurance, the ability. Brother Hayes, Brother McBride will clean up my mess. It'll be all right. The assurance, the ability. God will provide Himself. But I like this, a lamb, that's the answer. I'm glad that God will. I have that assurance. Provide Himself. He has the ability. But there's the lamb, that's the answer. You see, and we know this in Hebrews chapter number 11, Abraham was known as the man of faith. And this is very interesting, and I probably got this from Brother McBride. About 98% of what I preach, I got from somebody else, amen. R.G. Lee said, all originality and no plagiarism makes for poor preaching. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 11, at least I'm honest, amen. At least I don't lie and say, God gave me this in the midnight hour. While I was listening to that preacher on YouTube, amen. But anyway... Hebrews chapter number 11. It said in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now we know he didn't offer up Isaac. We know the lamb showed up. But in the mind of Abraham and in the heart of Abraham, he had offered up Isaac. And I love this now. And he received the promises offered up by his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Abraham knew that even if he took Isaac's life there on that mountain, that God was going to put the pieces all back together. He said, I and the Lord will go yonder and will come again. Ain't you glad to know that we serve a God that'll keep his word? He is not a man that he should lie. There is the absence of the lamb. There is the asking for the lamb. There's the announcement of the lamb. Number four, and I'm done. There's the arrival of the lamb. Aren't you glad he showed up? The lamb did not disappoint. But he showed up right on time. Have you ever thought about how close to hell you were the night you got saved? I mean, we've all heard that testimony. I tell you, the night I got saved, it was my last chance. I'd have died that night without how close you were. But he showed up right on time. You see, he came on time. He lived on time. He died on time. He got up on time. He went back on time. He's coming back on time. And I preach in the prison every once in a while down at home, and they got a choir, and they'll sing, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I wish we could do that in our choir, but they just laugh at us. He showed up. There's three things that happened when that lamb showed up, and I'm done. Number one, there was substitution. You know the text. Look at verse number 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes after that angel spoke out to him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering. I love this. In the stead of his son. That altar was built for one person. It was built for Isaac. And that he's bound to that altar. The knife of God's judgment is fixing to fall upon him. But right before the judgment fell, the lamb showed up. And aren't you glad when justice called, mercy answered. And God showed up in your life. There's that substitution. The Bible said, for Christ hath also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. When this substitution brought two things to Isaac, first of all, it brought liberty to Isaac. Remember, he's bound on that altar. But when the lamb showed up, and I believe this with all my heart, that same knife that would have took his life cut him loose. And now he's no longer bound to that place of judgment. But now he's at liberty. He's free. He can lift a hand. He can walk on. Anybody listen to me? He can do something for God. And aren't you glad when he showed up, there's liberty in Christ. I'm at 18 minutes. I'm watching my time. I'll be honest with you. I get tired of these people that leave our good fundamental churches. And they say, well, I'm so free now. I have so much liberty now. I'm telling you, I'm not in bondage. I drank all the liquor I wanted to this morning. You know what? Didn't drink none. Didn't want to. That's liberty. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't want all them standards and all them convictions, and I don't want the preacher telling me what to do. I'm telling you, real liberty is not doing what you want to do. Real liberty is doing what he wants you to do. That's what liberty is. Somebody said, I ain't popular. Well, I ain't preaching to be popular. I'm preaching to be right. Amen. Liberty. He was free. He had freedom. But then I love this. I studied this the other day, and I made sure when I was coming over here this morning that I had this right. But it's interesting that in the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Yeah. Now I got to study about, and one man I studied after, he said, there's a reason that every word is in my Bible. And I asked myself, why I didn't say that we've been set free? We like singing 235 in the Red Book, he set me free, I like it. But he didn't say he set me free, said he made me free. You've probably heard this, but one man I studied after said to be set free gives the meaning that at some point you were bound. You were in prison. You were locked up. But that phrase, made free, means you just made that way. You were begotten that way. In fact, in the eyes of God, you've just always been. Think about it. You see, when a child is born, it has everything that we have except for a past. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. That may not be right, but it's feeling pretty good right now. I'm glad I've been made free. I'm not, in fact, I have no past, but I have been forgiven by the blood. I was real nervous, and I just saw Dr. Maccabee, and I'm just now really nervous, amen. Thankfully, I'm almost done. There's the liberty. And by the way, drive that principle home, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. He got liberty, but then he got life when he got up off that altar. Isaac had the best days of his life after the lamb showed up. Rebecca came into his life. Children came into his life. Blessing, can I say this? Anybody would testify the fact that after the lamb showed up in your life, it's been the greatest days of your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I imagine as Isaac got up off that altar, he walked a little bit different after that day. Never lived the same. You see, that day it was not Isaac's blood that was shed on that mountain, but rather it was the blood of the Lamb. Now we know that this sacrifice, we can study all the things of it, but he would slit his throat and then he would literally dissect the parts and separate everything. You understand that? And then he'd place all that on the altar and set a fire on it. That fire is mentioned over and over again in Genesis 22. And it was not a consuming fire, but it was that slow smoldering fire so that aroma would reach the nostrils of God. We understand that. But I got to thinking about this. Because the lamb showed up, Isaac never felt the fire. See, he was headed to spend, that his days would end over a fire. But because because the lamb showed up, he never felt the flames of the fire. And can I say this? Because on April the 9th, 1997, when the Lamb showed up in my life, I'm glad I'll never feel the fire. I'm glad I'll never feel the flames of hell because the Lamb took my place. There was substitution. Then there was sacrifice that he offered him up in the stead of his son. Think about this. That altar was made out of wood. And I ain't too brilliant, but I know wood comes from a tree. That had been cut down. And so could we say that the lamb died on an old rugged tree? And that wasn't that lamb's altar. It was Isaac. But he died in his place. That was Barabbas' cross that Jesus died on. But Jesus took his place. Then there was satisfaction. Verse number 14, I'm done. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As is seen to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now, if I've got this wrong, you can correct me after service. But I've tried to study this. And for sake of typology purposes, I don't see ever, and there might be a place and I just missed it, but I don't see ever again where Abraham offered a sacrifice to God before he died. It may have, and I dismissed it, but here's my point. Once was enough. Can I say this? I'm glad he'll never be crucified again. But I'm glad it once was enough. Once and for all, there it came. Bible said in Hebrews 10, verse 11 and 12, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You understand that tabernacle? There was no seat in that tabernacle because the priest's job was never done. But I'm glad when Jesus offered his blood, as Brother Smith preached yesterday, he sat down. The work has been done. The price has been paid. He cried on the cross, Teliesti, it is finished. You can't add anything to it. Thank God for the Lamb showing up. Getting ready to walk off that mountain that day. We don't read. We know he did, but there's a great type of, if you preach Isaac, type of Christ, it's a beautiful picture of the silent ascension. We don't read about Isaac coming off the mountain. We read about Abraham, but I think about this. I wonder if Isaac may have walked over to that carcass, that what was left of that sacrifice, and said, "Little lamb, I sure appreciate you showing up, because if you hadn't showed up, I'd be on that fire. But one day the lamb showed up, and I'll never feel the flames of hell. If it ever dawns on you that you can't go to hell, they'll chase you down in Arkansas shouting." In Genesis 22, the question is asked, "Where is the lamb?" In John 1:29, the question is answered of, "Who is the lamb?" But in Revelation chapter 5, they're not asking, "Where is the lamb?" They're not saying, "You stole it." Hey, man. They're not asking, "Who is the lamb?" But they're shouting, "Worthy is the lamb." Can I say this? We'll have one song. We'll have one testimony. We'll have one thing. We'll be bragging about what we did to get there. But we'll be singing a new song. Thank God we won't have to have choir practice with the TM. We won't have to be getting what page number did he say. No, the song's been written in our heart a long time ago. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad one day when I was headed for hell, lost without God, the Lamb showed up in my place, and I just can't help but say, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Thank God the Lamb showed up.